Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. Welcome to the program. Would you have thought that a 7% victory would have produced 100% socialism in less than 100 days? Would you have expected that a 7% margin would have produced such a radical shift in your nation so rapidly? Would you have expected that a 7% margin would have granted this imposter the power to cause a social, economic, and political revolution in this country in so short a period of time? Well, we could have predicted it. I wrote The Enemy Within several years ago trying to warn you about this. I try to warn you about the Council on Foreign Relations. I try to warn you about George Soros. I try to warn you about the Open Borders Movement. I try to warn you about the New World Order Movement. I try to warn you about NAFTA. I try to warn you about GATT. I try to warn you about The Enemy Within, but you didn't listen to me. So my conscience is clear. I did everything I could to protect you and protect America. Unfortunately, the Republicans have sold us down the river. For example, I have sued Janet Napolitano, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, for targeting veterans. I've teamed up with the great Thomas More Law Center, a civil rights organization in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and filed against DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano. And it's a very important lawsuit because it protects you, protects soldiers, protects our civil liberties. This woman is absolutely unqualified for this position. She has eschewed Islamic terrorism as a threat to the United States of America. Instead, she has turned all of the ire of the government, all of the power of the government, all of the spying powers of the government on the very patriotic citizens who could protect this country. It is upside down. It is not Alice in Wonderland. It is worse than Alice in Wonderland. Are we all terrorists now? Go to michaelsavage.com and read the second story linked up. Barbara Anderson wrote it. Now, there's a couple of other very important stories. You can read the Savage lawsuit on my website. You can read how the veterans have been a focus of the FBI extremist probe and how they can't hide the fact that they're afraid of veterans. Obama is in Mexico blaming the United States for the problems in the Mexican drug war. Our yellow-bellied turncoat president is in Mexico meeting with the Mexican president, saying the U.S. is to blame for much of Mexico's drug violence. I've never seen anything like it. He goes to Europe and he blames us. He goes to Islamic countries, he blames Christianity. He goes to Mexico and he blames Americans. Go down the list. He's then going to meet with Chavez, the communist dictator in South America. And Obama is ready to tell Hugo Chavez, the communist dictator, that nations should shelve old arguments in the summit of the Americas. We should shelve arguments and ideologies of the past and work on pragmatic solutions. If you don't understand what's going on, frankly, I don't think you deserve a nation, nor do you deserve to vote, and I don't think you'll be able to vote very soon. The EPA, under this radical extremist, this fringe extremist, Carol Browner, this fringe extremist who runs the EPA under Obama is now saying greenhouse gases are a danger to public health, and she's going to cap carbon dioxide, even though there are no studies to prove this, even though there's no evidence to prove it, even though there's no evidence to prove that you can control carbon dioxide emissions. She is going to try to wreck the economy even further. Again, socialism on the march. From the Washington Post, homeless protected under a hate crimes bill. That's right. The very people who defecate in mailboxes, spit in your face, threaten you in front of your girlfriend if you don't give them money, are now a protected class in Obama's America. Obama advisor linked to alleged kickback scheme, Reuters. Stephen Ratner, the loudmouth leader of the Obama administration's auto task force, was involved with payments now under scrutiny to state and federal investigation into alleged kickback scheme. From ABC News on MichaelSavage.com, AIG says no to injured contractors from Iraq, yes to bonuses. But it's going to get even better. Wait, it's going to get even better on the website. From the New York Post, CNBC sweats Obama bashing label. The top suits at CNBC were recently ordered to a top secret meeting with NBC Universal's president, Mr. Smelt, to discuss whether they've turned into the Obama bashing network. In other words, because Mr. Smelt, who runs General Electric, received a gigantic bailout from Obama, he is now trying to rein in the few voices at CNBC who are daring to stand up to this socialist juggernaut. Thank you, Mr. Smelt. You never had me fooled. We go down the list from CNN. Ex-McCain aide Steve Schmidt worked for McCain, ran McCain's failed campaign as the enemy within is now calling for gay marriage support. Like I didn't know it. And the topper is coming now. Wait. The topper is at the bottom of the website. Obama Justice Department presents an award to Janet Reno, the very woman who incinerated 78 men, women, and children in a compound in Waco, Texas, was hugged and kissed by the illegitimate Attorney General Eric Holder, who then presented her with the American Judicature Society Award. I have no idea what the award is for, but to honor a woman who incinerated 78 innocent men, women, and children is astonishing. But it shows you what's coming from Eric Holder, the man who granted amnesty to Puerto Rican terrorists and to other terrorist elements when he was a shameful member of the Attorney General's office under Hillary Clinton. I guess I can give you something on a lighter note. Pet-only airline takes the skies. Pet Airways will have pet check-in lounges and a website where customers can book reservations and track their pet's travel progress. All right, terrific. Just what I always wanted. Perfect for an allergic individual who hates noise. And who's going to clean up in the aisles? All right, play some music for me now. Then I'm going to get some real hard news coming up. So far, this was all light for what's coming. All light for what's coming from the communist Obama administration. Now, here's the best story of the day. Under the Bush administration, despite his many flaws, we have not been attacked by the Islamo-fascists around the world, who, as you well know, like the pirates, would like to cut your throat and take everything you've worked for. But according to Obama, there is no threat from Islamic nations. That's because his sympathies lie elsewhere. And they are now trying to make certain that you hate George Bush, Dick Cheney, and the CIA sufficiently so that they've laid out for all of our enemies the techniques that were used, that were not torture, to get information from these low-life subhumans as they interrogated them. Now, these techniques were not torture by any means. Torture is what actually happens to people when the Islamic fascists get them. Torture is forcing them to say, I am not a Jew. Torture is forcing them to say, my mother was Jewish, my father was Jewish, and cutting their head off, as the Islamic fascists did to Danny Pearl. That was forgotten by the vermin at MSNBC. They don't consider cutting off someone's head and making them humiliate themselves before the world in a camera before their head is sawed off actual torture. To the vermin at MSNBC, who are all drug addicts and perverts, the following consists of torture. Listen to this.
In memos to the spy agency, the Justice Department approved shackling so-called high-value suspects, forcing them to stand and keeping them from sleeping for up to 11 days, making them assume stress positions, such as standing with only their hands touching a distant wall, or kneeling while being forced to bend sharply backward, locking them in a tiny, cramped space for up to 2 hours at a time. For Zubeda, one memo even okayed throwing in an insect of which he was believed to be deathly afraid, though that step was not taken, and simulated drowning through the process known as waterboarding.
I'd like to take this lisping reporter from CNN, this lisping enemy within. I'll leave it right there. So Obama now has released Bush-era memos about CIA interrogation techniques. In other words, telling our enemy how to prepare for interrogations in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard, does that consist of torture to you? Does any of that consist of torture? But that's not the real question. The real question is, if you captured somebody who wanted to drop a radioactive device in a suitcase bomb in New York City, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, or another city, how would you get the information out of him? Would you not waterboard him? What would you do? Would you subject him to a speech from Janet Napolitano for over an hour in a locked room? I'll be right back.
Savage. Oh, I went to a dance the other night. Everybody went stag. I said over and over and over again, this dance is gonna be a drag.
Chill this music. I can't stand it. A terrible choice. Welcome back to the Some of this old music I hate. I can't stand it. How about giving me one I like for Rock and Roll Friday? I've had enough this week with Janet Napolitano. Big
one,
Chin
two,
Napolitano.
Three, 4 o'clock, rock.
There you go.
5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock,
there you go.
Rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12
people
o'clock,
are listening
rock,
to me. What do you
rock.
Want me to do? Me
around around the clock tonight.
I had a headache. The eye hurts me. A migraine. Friday I'm supposed to feel good. Why? Oh, whoopee. It's the weekend. Wow. I think I'm Anderson Cooper, looking forward to a teabagging. I had no idea these degenerates do things like that. It's sicker than I even thought. I thought I knew everything. I had no idea they were this demented. Okay, turn it off. The lawsuit by Savage and the Law Center says the DHS has violated the First and Fifth Amendments by attempting to chill the rights of free speech, expressive association, and equal protection. Says the agency encourages law enforcement to target and report citizens to federal officials as extremists and potential terrorists based on their political beliefs. This is all under the communist Obama administration. Thomas More Law Center President Chief Counsel Richard Thompson said, quote, the Obama administration has declared war on American patriots and our Constitution. The report even admits that the department has no specific information on any plans of violence by so-called right-wing extremists. Rather, what they do have is the expression of political opinions by certain individuals and organizations that oppose the Obama administration's policies, and this expression is protected speech under the First Amendment, close quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing the job that the Republican Party has failed to do. They are no longer a functional political party. They cease to exist. They're worthless dreck. It's a worthless dreck party. Dreck is an old German word for the droppings at the bottom of a birdcage. There is no Republican Party. We have a single party system run by the Mussolini of our time, Obama, who is now making nice with the murderer Castro, the dictator Chavez. It's astounding to me how he gets away with it. But then again, I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. I blame the compliant vermin in the media. And speaking of the vermin in the media, this you're not going to believe. I couldn't believe the story. I thought that they were making it up. An individual working in the Defense Department has come out and called for the bailout of newspapers. Now, it would be bad enough if this came from a newspaper when they're supposed to know that they're supposed to be independent of the government. But it came from the Defense Department on a Defense Department letterhead to the media from a character named Rosa Brooks. I looked up Rosa Brooks. She wrote an article, a press release came out of the Defense Department saying that newspapers should be bailed out. I was astonished that this would come out of the Defense Department. I said, how could this be coming out of the Defense Department? And I looked it up. I said, who is Rosa Brooks? Well, here it is. She used to write for the LA Times. She was a worker for a Soros organization. She worked for the Council on Foreign Relations. She worked for Amnesty International. She is a law professor who went into so-called journalism, went to work for the L.A. Times, and here's what she wrote on April 9th. This will be my last column for the L.A. Times. After 4 years, I'll soon be starting a stint at the Pentagon as an advisor to the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Did you hear this? This is a woman, in other words, a far-left radical from the CFR, from a Soros-funded organization, who is now working in our Defense Department, putting out memos such as bailout journalism with federal funds. Now, you and I both know that an independent press is of the most paramount importance to a free society. But once you have government money bailing out newspapers, the bias that is already there will be total. She then says, if we don't bail out newspapers and save our well-trained journalists, we'll soon be left with nothing but the yapping heads who dominate cable news and talk radio. Now wait, it gets worse. How will we know if government officials have made a terrible mistake, as even the best will sometimes do? How will we know if government officials have told us terrible lies, as the worst have sometimes done? Hey, schmuck woman, Rosa Brooks, because of people like me in talk radio, the American people know the mistakes that Janet Napolitano has made, not because of vermin like you who cover up for them. You lying vermin, you! I am so angry that we now have a government where a professor who used to work for George Soros's Open Society, who worked at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, who worked at the Amnesty International Jew-Hating Organization, who worked at the America-Hating Council on Foreign Relations, is now inside the Defense Department itself as a mole, as a boll weevil, as the enemy within herself, putting out press releases, in this case, calling for the bailout of American newspapers by federal taxpayers, meaning the U.S. government. It doesn't get any lower than this. It's all propaganda. It's Alice in Wonderland. But because of me, you know about Janet Napolitano. You now know about Rosa Brooks at the Defense Department, who put out bailout journalism as a memo. And you know about what is real and what is false.
Savage.
Turn that music off. I got such a headache right now. Too much red wine last night. How about a white sport coat? Give me something like mellow. That's all. Give me mellow. What a headache. Wow. Good French wine. I mean, I haven't had any in 6 months. I figured I would test to see if it would give me a headache. It gave me a headache. Felt good going down. It felt awfully good on the way down. Like Jimmy Durante used to say, be real nice to everyone on the way up because you're going to meet them all on the way down. You know. What happened to my country? How did such degenerate scum take it over? How did such degenerate, cowardly vermin take over every aspect of this country? Who would have expected a woman who looks like Pat, the ambisexual, to have a television show and people would watch it? Who would have expected operatives for the Democrat Party to actually be on television presenting themselves as journalists? Who would have expected a woman who's never fired a Daisy BB gun, Jane Harmon, to be in the head of the Homeland Security Oversight Committee? Who would have expected any of this? I wouldn't have. Well, my conscience is clear. I've done the right thing. I've done everything I could to protect America, and I'm only one man, that's all. I'm not holding myself up above anybody. I'm telling you, I'm doing what I want to do to protect my children from what's coming to this country. I have studied dictatorships, and as sure as I'm sitting here, the left-wing vermin surrounding Obama would turn this country into a prison camp if they're let loose. They would put you in a concentration camp. They'll call it a re-education camp. I'm warning you. I am right. I've studied these things. But I walk around the streets and I see that it's almost hopeless. I see college children who know nothing about anything. Nothing. Marijuana, drugs, sex, music, that's all they know. They think because they can Twitter and they can text message each other that they're a combination of Albert Einstein and Chopin together. They're better than Einstein and Chopin because they can sit with a finger and tap out hieroglyphics to each other, further and further diminishing the literacy level of America with these idiotic devices, reducing things to their telegraphic minimum. No nuance, no subtlety, no literature, no science, no poetry, no art, just twittering. WOR in New York, Jimmy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. In that regard, Obama is the perfect representation of a nation of imbeciles who have twittered each other to the point where they would elect an imposter like him. Jimmy, go ahead, please.
Yes, the fifth column one. Oh, look, I have on my lap here a radical left-wing well-known newspaper, and in the newspaper they appear to be equating Obama...
Wait, hold on. What's the name of the paper?
The Village Voice.
Yeah, but it was owned for years by capitalists who pretended they were leftists. You know, that twerp in Brooklyn, what's his name? Norman Mailer founded it, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know who founded it, but I know...
Yeah, the big faker, Norman Mailer, the big hotshot who shot the apple out of his wife's mouth. He was always so insecure, he tried to show how tough he was, beating up women, pretending he was a boxer. I remember he founded the paper, then it was owned by a guy who owned a pet food company. Pretending again. I remember the Village Voice in the back that ads for sex and the ear piercing. Everyone read it for the sex ads. So what's the article in it now?
Well, it has a photo from the Soviet Union. It shows you a painting of Stalin on the wall. In front of Stalin is a bust of Lenin. In front of that is a row of communist kids with the red scarves, you know, the Communist Youth League and whatever. And underneath
right.
it, it says, Instant Chic, replace Stalin with Obama. Now, remember, there's a movement...
Now, hold on. Are they saying that Obama is like Stalin and that is dangerous, or Obama is like Stalin and that is good?
I mean it like it's good, because Stalin is being rehabilitated here and also in Russia.
So in other words, the man who killed 30 million Russians and was the most paranoid leader in world history, who killed even his best friends, is now a role model for the left?
Well, in New York, they hung a banner up for him, honoring him at Cooper Union. Remember, when Gus Hall died, the communist leader, they had his wake or memorial service at Cooper Union. And
okay, here's a question for you, Jimmy, since you're the commie expert. Who is Gus Hall's daughter and where does she work?
You know what? I don't know that.
Marilyn Hall Patel. Does the name ring a bell?
Yeah.
Marilyn Hall Patel. A radical left-wing justice judge in San Francisco. Is Gus Hall the communist daughter?
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Oh, you see, I trumped you on that one, Jimmy, and you know everything.
I'm gonna check this out. Now, but this shows you how the fifth column is huge. It's the main column. It's the only column. You know, when only one side is fighting, they're going to win.
How is it that a 7% plurality can yield 100% of dominance in politics? What happened to the Republican Party? Why did they not say one word about Janet Napolitano's power grab and her attack on American citizens? It took a Democrat, an African-American Democrat, Benny Thompson, to say he was shocked by the DHS report. Not one Republican has said a word, Jimmy.
And nobody's calling for her to be fired other than you. She should be fired and put in a re-education camp or sensitivity training. She's a bigot. This is frightening. This is frightening stuff.
Well, she's actually abrogated civil rights, human rights, political rights. She's done everything the left claims they're for, or rather against, and they've said nothing. The only people speaking out are people like myself. But where is the Republican Party? They're worthless.
I just wish the other talk show host understood the communist threat.
Let me ask you something. How come the great blowhard Rush Limbaugh hasn't backed me in my DHS lawsuit? How come the man with fat thighs and too tight jeans, Wallbanger, hasn't said a word? How come the hemorrhoid with ears hasn't said a word? The answer is they're nothing but entertainers who are faking it as conservatives. Don't you get it, Jimmy? I'm a man alone here.
Well, on this...
Look, I don't want to go into it. I'm in a bad mood. I'll let you know what I really feel in a minute. I need some rock and roll. It's a little early in the segment. I was hoping the segment was over already so I can go to break. But it's not. It's the third segment of the first hour. Do you have any rock and roll? I'm hanging out here like I, you know. I don't know. Without you come back to me. No, I'm not even in this. There's no melody to this. It's nothing. It just sounds like somebody banging a tin pot. Sorry, Fats. That one doesn't make it. Don't we have anything melodic? 50s, 60s rock and roll, something in the kitty there that'll entertain me so I can continue to do it. Who's this? The Everly Brothers. I don't like the Everly Brothers. I'll tell you why. I like them, but then she rejected. There's this girl who rejected me when I was 15. So everything is very personal. It's like Fritz Perls in and out the garbage pail. Everything has a personal memory for me. In other words, if I'd been successful with this girl when that song was popular, I would like that song. But since she rejected me at that time, I don't like that song. So that's no good. You'll have to pick one where I'm trying to think of one that was good in that. Now, that was good. That yielded many a soiled outfit.
I can't see anyone but you.
Remember, I have to come home and hide the clothing from my mother. Whoa. I don't know, you know, because that was like the final test was the laundry in those days. It was everyone's business. You all lived in such close quarters, you couldn't hide a thing. You couldn't take it to your aunt's house because you get busted there. Where would you go with the pants? You have to do pre-wash. No, there were certain tricks to it, which is that you would make the entire trouser dirty, like you'd fall in mud, to say that you were playing football at midnight somewhere in Brooklyn, and you slipped, and the sheep said, hey, coming out of the car, chasing a burglar to protect the blind woman. We'd cover up the telltale spot. Yeah, a lot of submarine watching, but those days are over. Now we're in an age of twittering. Twitterers elect the imposter. It was the Twitterers who gave us the imposter. The know-nothing morons with pimples. They vote, too. Everything is melting down faster than you can imagine. Oh. We can take requests, rock and roll requests. You understand I am suing. You understand this is not a joke. You understand this lawsuit's going to go forward. You understand we're going to bring Janet Napolitano to a court of law. You understand we're going to get the documentation and see who's actually on the classified list. You may find out that you're on the list. By the way, you'll thank me for this in the long run. Here it is. I never thought I'd be in a position like this where I'm the enemy of the government. Here I am trying to protect the people from a government that's out of control, and the government is seen as the friend of the people, when in fact it's the enemy of the freedom of the people. You got to turn it off. I can't deal with this, that's all. All right, what do you want to talk about? I got all Obama calls, DHS report. Houston, Tim, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The reason that the Republicans aren't talking about the DHS report is because the date on the actual document is January of 07. So it started and was first published or first beginning to be produced back in January of 07.
Well, you're wrong about it, because the January of 07 report was about genuine domestic terrorist groups like ELF. In other words, domestic terrorist groups that had blown up laboratories, kidnapped scientists and such, those groups were genuine terrorist groups who were investigated by the Homeland Security Department under Chertoff in of 07. Don't you understand that, Tim?
Well, suddenly
the cat got your tongue? You're giving me the left-wing spin, which is that they originally did this to investigate liberal groups. Well, that's because the liberal groups were terrorist groups who actually did conduct acts of violence and did espouse acts of violence, unlike the groups that are targeted by this little Hitler, Janet Napolitano, who have done nothing to provoke this kind of investigation, Tim. So what you're doing is you're putting out disinformation. Thank you. But you can't run it by me, because I am the most perceptive man in the American media. So, I don't know which caller to take now. I really don't know. I don't know if I want to take any calls. I need music. I ran the CNN report on torture. Do you think it's torture putting an insect in a cage with an insect, a human insect? If you have a human insect who is trying in every way to set off bombs in America, is that torture to put an insect in the cage with him? And they didn't actually do it, but the lisper on CNN said, but they didn't actually put the insect in. Now we have Obama saying America's caused the problems in Mexico, that we're the reason Mexico's melting down because of the guns. Now, I'm sure some guns are coming from America, but I'm sure that many guns are coming from Eastern Europe and transiting from Eastern Europe into Mexico directly from the Middle East and ex-Soviet bloc countries. I don't know why Obama doesn't talk about that. Why is he over there bad-mouthing his own country? Because it's not his country, obviously. Let's hear Obama. Let me hear anything from Obama
from
today.
All across America.
All across America.
All across the United States.
All across
America.
We
have benefited from the culture, the language, the food, the insights.
Oh, yeah, we benefited from Turista. Yeah, it's been real good for Metamucil. What a cuisine.
People who have migrated.
What culture? What are you talking about? What culture are you talking about? Gangbanging?
I
can't take it anymore. It's constant propaganda from this liar. Give me a break right now.
Savage.
All across America. All across the United States. We have benefited from the culture, the language, the food, the insights, the literature.
All right, we heard it all, yeah.
The energy.
Yeah. All right, we heard it all. Yeah, we benefited. Yeah, that's why we have an out-of-control gang problem in America. Okay, you hear of MS-13? Did that make it to the White House yet? That's a benefit, I guess. If you're trying to intimidate the population, it's a wonderful benefit. How come MS-13 wasn't on Napolitano's list of potential terrorist targets? How come it was veterans? Veterans are a potential extremist, but not MS-13 to this administration. It's a world upside down. He wants a new beginning with the prison camp country of Cuba. He wants a new beginning with Chavez, the dictator, the socialist dictator, who has made the entire middle class flee his nation. 7% is all he won by. Not one word from that hack, phony liar, Manchurian candidate McCain, John McShame, that hack phony. Arizona, Don, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you know, about 10 weeks ago, I tried to warn you regarding Janet Napolitano. She was the governor of the state of Arizona here and was destined to get into the Obama administration. This woman was, I knew how dangerous she was, okay? I'm an ex-veteran, United States Army Infantry, and I feel personally insulted, okay? Every time she got on the television and tried to explain this away, she pulled out the name Timothy McVeigh. You know?
Correct. She made Timothy McVeigh symbolize the tens of millions of Americans who have and are serving in the American Armed Forces. But she won't pull out the name Osama bin Laden when she says Muslim, will she?
Oh, absolutely not. She won't pull out anybody from MS-13, the gang that you mentioned there, okay, who's coming across our border.
Right. Does she hold up a gangbanger with a gang tattoos as an example of Hispanics? That would be seen as stereotyping and racial profiling, wouldn't it? Well, here's political profiling.
And you know what? She must think that every vet that comes out of the military is a potential Timothy McVeigh, a white, disgruntled, okay.
What is her background? What is Janet Napolitano's background before she became governor?
She was an attorney.
So she was a U.S. attorney, a far left radical U.S. attorney, I guess.
Exactly, she was a U.S. attorney. Okay, and she was. You know what?
How did the people of Arizona continue to keep her in as a governor when she was for open borders with Mexico while you were being run over by drug gangs? How is that possible?
Well, the thing is, she hoodwinked people. Okay, she'd say one thing and do something totally different when it came down to passing legislation that would actually stop these people. Okay,
mm-hmm.
She was a two bit phony then, a Democrat that you know.
Well,
what?
Well, Don, listen, I filed my lawsuit for men like you. Okay, I filed it to protect the honor of the military. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not going to gain anything from this. I don't win any money if we win. You know that.
Sure, and you know what? We don't have anybody else that's gonna.
How is it that I, a single man, a talk show host, has to do the job that should be done by Congress to rein in an out-of-control Homeland Security director? That's their job, is to constrain this woman, not my job.
The Republican silence speaks volumes for this here, okay?
I'll never vote for... Look, I went along with McCain out of desperation. I will never do it again. Never. I will never do it again. I had to do it because I didn't want Obama to win. But if they ever run another phony like McCain, another Manchurian candidate, I'm never voting for them again. Thank you. If I were 20 years younger, I would run for office. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not a politician. I never have been. I don't have the nature for it. I don't have the head for it. I don't have the desire for it. I'm a loner. I'm a typical loner. I'm the type that likes to be left alone, to think on my own, to come up with ideas on my own. I can't work with others. I can't. I never could. My people distract me in a work setting. I'm not into groupthink. Some do. There's nothing wrong with it if you can. I can't sit in a room in a meeting and listen to people whose ideas I don't think are valid and sit there and go, Margie, you're in like your input, Margie, very good. And your input, schmuck, okay. And Hiram, what's your input? And Jane, what's your input? And you can't listen to it. I'm the guy in the room with a pencil who could design the Brooklyn Bridge before there was a computer. You know what I'm saying? That kind of mind. That's the way it is. That's why I've written books. I was always a kid who made airplane models as a child. I sat alone in a room making models. I guess I should have been on a terrorist watch list even then. Look out for young white boys from the Bronx who make airplane models and are not at Yankee Stadium. I mean, maybe that's a future terrorist right there. You never know. I mean, the guy he can wind up on talk radio writing books that people read that disagree with little Nazis like Janet Napolitano, little Hitlers in the making, little oven stuffers who would have been glad to work in Bergen-Belsen with matrons' uniforms pushing people into ovens in the name of a one world, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer. You know what I'm saying? Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Obama. Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Obama. You almost have to speak German to understand what's going on. You know? Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Obama. You don't get it, you schmucks, you idiots don't see what's going on. You have a naked communist administration strangling you step by step with one demonic left winger after another.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We have benefited from the culture, the language, the food, the insights, the literature, the energy, the ambitions of people who have migrated from our southern neighbor. And my hope
can
is
anyone
is
explain
the
one
States...
piece of literature from Mexico that you can? Let's put aside the cuisine, which we'll let hang in the air, and the music. Can someone suggest one book written from that country that's of any value to you? I mean, what is he talking about? The question is, now that the world is fragmenting, who will rule the world is the only question. Now, this question has been asked since time immemorial, and we know that there have been various kingdoms, and then there were various empires, and the Anglo-American Empire is crumbling. Look at the weaklings and the imposters that are running them. You had Tony Blair, Bill Clinton, George Bush, and now this ultimate imposter, Obama. And the question now is, who will rule the world? I'm trying to put this in a larger context. Take a look at where we are today. Take a look at where this world is today. This once incredible world that we felt was secure, where we felt we could work, pay our taxes, build a home and a family, pay pass some of it on to our children is crumbling right before our eyes. And we're asking ourselves, what's emerging? We don't know what's emerging. We have no idea what is emerging. Now, you can go to the Bible and say that there'll be a godly kingdom on earth if you wish. I'm not that optimistic. I think we're going to go through Hades itself before we get there, frankly. And I believe that Obama is leading us into a totalitarian hell that we've never seen in this country. And it's being done with the complicity of the vermin and the perverts in the media, who either know or are naive and don't know who he is and what the people surrounding him want to achieve. We had an inkling of it with Janet Napolitano turning on war veterans and others she disagrees with politically, targeting them as potential terrorists, without putting on that list Islamo-fascist cells in America, MS-13 and other gangbanger elements in America. How come she could not even put gangbanger elements in America and America's ghettos, for example, as potential terrorists? How could she then name military men, returning military, as potential terrorists? Because the answer is simple. I gave it in a book called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. These are deranged, mentally ill people who are now running the country. So the question is, who will rule the world? The Anglo-American empire is crumbling. You had Tony Blair, a symbol of the decay of England, a man who took down the Union Jack from British Airways so as not to offend people around the world. And now we have Obama taking down the symbols of Jesus Christ when he gave a speech at Georgetown University. A man who would not go to the war memorial, rather the graves at Normandy. A man who would go to a mosque and take his shoes off and basically look pleased when they introduced him to the tomb of Hussein, his namesake. A man who now seeks a new beginning with the Stalinist, a state where the Hitlers, the Castro brothers, have ruined lives for almost 40 years. He is now reaching out to Chavez, a man who hates this country's economic system. Why do you suppose he's doing this? Four beasts come out of the sea, ferocious as a lion, quick as an eagle, voracious as a bear. A fearsome beast proves to be different, swift as a winged leopard. I mean, read the Bible, maybe you'll get your answer. Because we now have a prophecy emerging in front of our eyes. I think that most of this has been predicted, and I believe that the Bible, which did predict, and I know many of you are not Bible believers, you laugh at this, but there are people for whom the Bible is the living word of God and the living truth, and they live and die by it. They would rather die than violate the codes of the Bible. And so they understand what happens when an individual goes outside the boundaries of God's rules. They know that we're all tempted, and they know that we all break God's rules on a regular basis. But they also know that we have to keep reinforcing God's rules in order to keep us sane and sound. Even if we break God's rules, we have to respect God's rules. Don't you understand that? It doesn't make you a hypocrite if you occasionally break one of God's rules. You got to keep struggling for the ideal, for the perfect, by adhering to those Ten Commandments. It doesn't mean you're going to meet up to that. It doesn't mean you're going to meet all of those goals at all times. But you've got to try. Because the day you cast aside these ironclad rules that are fixed in stone, the Ten Commandments, after all, are fixed in stone, that's the day that we have nothing left. We have nothing to hold on to. Everything disintegrates. And that's why this liar is so dangerous. And that's why these atheists around them are even more dangerous. And the question is, who is going to rule the earth? Who will rule the world? Do you actually want a coalition of China and Russia and Chavez and Cuba telling you how to run your life here in America? Do you want a supine president who welcomes input from Chavez and Castro and Russia and China in United States law? Is that what you want? Have you any idea what that will bring to this country, whether you're on the left or the right? So many of you say, I pray that the Messiah returns right now to save us. Well, you can keep praying. Jews, the Messianic Jewish people believe that as well. And they keep believing that this is going to save us. I have no answer to that. In the theological questions, I leave to others. I don't invest myself in theological questions. But where are we in terms of world history? Where are we in terms of world history? There was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was rebuilt in 406. The Messiah appears to the Christian people in the year 29 of the A.D., the Messiah is cut off 33 of A.D., and to the Christian people, they're awaiting the return of the Messiah. You may not know it, but there's an entire division of the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish people, who are also awaiting for They believe the Messiah has not arisen, but they also are messianic. And they believe only the Messiah can save us. I actually believe only we can save us, to be frank. I'm not looking for some spiritual guidance to save me from the oven stuffers that are running America. I am not looking for any spiritual salvation to save us from clear and present danger in the form of a woman who is in charge of the most powerful spy agency, domestic spy agency in America. Make no mistake about it. The Department of Homeland Security is a spying agency. Think about what it was created to do. Prevent another 9/11. And under George Bush, it did. Give Bush credit. Under George Bush, a 9/11 never occurred. They kept arresting Islamo-fascists, would-be Islamo-terrorists were arrested continuously. They were caught and they were arrested. And now you have a radical left-winger, Janet Napolitano, put in there by a radical left-wing president, Hussein Obama, who instead of looking at the Islamo-fascists, looking at the Hispanic gangs, looking at the gangs emerging in America, she targets returning military veterans and any political organization that she disagrees with. And you have not one word from the so-called ACLU, not one word from that blowhard Rush Limbaugh, not one word from Wallbanger, not one word from the hemorrhoid with ears, in understanding that the lawsuit I filed is for the protection of all of us. And that is because they're not in it for anybody but themselves. They're in for their own aggrandizement. Now, if you say, so am I, you're wrong. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. What do I gain by filing this lawsuit? Tell me what I gain by it. I'm not looking for any money. I can't win any money from it. So I have now made myself perhaps the most hated man to this government. The most hated man to the Department of Homeland Security is not Osama bin Laden. It's not the head of a gang from El Salvador. It's not the head of a gang from Mexico. It's Michael Savage, because I sit here and tell you the plain truth. So are they now turning all of their spy apparatus on me? I hope not, but I have no idea what's going on inside that agency. Do you? Do you have any idea what they're doing inside there with all of the deviants who have taken over these organizations? All of these left-wing deviants have taken over these organizations? It doesn't mean that within the structure there aren't patriots. There are. And we can only pray that the patriots in DHS, FBI, NCIS will release documents to the media whenever they see them emerging. Get them out. Get them out underground to anybody you can. Make sure that the American people are aware of what your bosses are planning so that we don't wind up with a communist regime in this country arresting people in the middle of the night and putting them in little black cars and taking them away and you never see them again. Watch out, because it could happen in the blink of an eye. That's the consequence of electing this imposter. We try to warn you who he was. And how did we know who Obama was and what he'd be doing and who he'd put in high places? Simply by his background. Simply by his preacher. We listened to his preacher. The preacher was a stone-hearted white hater. The preacher was a stone-hearted America hater. The preacher was a man who taught hatred for 20 years, and Obama and Michelle sat in that church for 20 straight years. We played you those tapes. We try to warn you. And the Manchurian candidate, John McCain, whenever someone at a town hall meeting would say to him something negative about Obama, the Manchurian candidate would say, oh, no, he's a fine young fella. We just disagree politically. No, John, you don't disagree with Obama on anything. You're just another apparatchik looking to collect another check. So there we are. We're alone. We're stuck here. We have no opposition party to turn to. We have no one to protect us other than the truth itself. Only the naked truth can protect us from the coming terror in this country. Only the individuals inside the FBI, DHS, CIA, NCIS, and other spying agencies who still understand what is going on and have the guts, who will find such documents and ferret them out to friends in the media so that the daylight can be shined upon them and expose these bosses for who they are, can save America from the horrible, horrible left turn it has taken. I'll be right back. Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me,
my lover stand.
Torture is illegal, it is immoral, and it is essential that individuals who conducted torture be held accountable.
I have to say, these were some of the most shocking legal documents I've ever seen.
Really?
To see the United States government and Assistant Attorney General say that waterboarding was not torture, a position that
Shut
is
up,
totally...
Shut up, Tubin. Tubin, you've tortured people with your left-wing drivel for the last number of years. Here's Jeffrey Tubin, some little nobody, putting his two cents in. This little coward probably never shot a BB gun in his life, shocked at how George Bush put an insect in a cage with some Islamo-fascist vermin. Hey, Jeff, let me ask you something. If you're walking down a dark street one night coming back from a bathhouse and you see some bad boys coming at you, what do you dial, 911 or the ACLU, you stupid moron, you? I've never seen anything like this in my life. Never in my life have I seen anything like it. Attacking the people who protected us from these Islamo-fascists now, wanting to indict the CIA. Can you just imagine if we have all of these perverts put into the CIA? What techniques will they use to extract information from Islamo-fascists that they capture? Tell me. Tell me what methods they'll use. I'm just outraged by this. Play the CNN report on what they actually did. Let the people hear.
In memos to the spy agency, the Justice Department approved shackling so-called high-value suspects, forcing them to stand and keeping them from sleeping for up to 11 days, making them assume stress positions, such as standing with only their hands touching a distant wall, or kneeling while being forced to bend sharply backward, locking them in a tiny, cramped space for up to 2 hours at a time.
You lisping little
one
piece
memo
of garbage.
Even okayed you throwing lisping in an piece insect of which he was believed to be deathly afraid, though that
oh
step
my.
Was not taken, and simulated
oh
drowning through the
wait,
process.
Wait, oh, the step
known-
wasn't taken? You little nobody, you. Maybe they could have really frightened them by putting a cross inside the cage with these wonderful worshippers of Allah. Maybe that would have been considered torture to you. I never heard anything like this. It's total insanity, a world of insane people. Insane people on CNN, insane people inside the Obama administration. I've never seen anything like it. This is torture to them. Not cutting a man's head off with a rusty knife and chanting to Allah. You want me to play that tape for you so you know what real torture is? Do I have to put things in context so you know who the heck we're fighting? New York, WOR. Tom, welcome to the program. Yes.
I'm sorry. Michael, you're the archangel of America. You're the voice for millions of people that don't have a voice. But I'm calling about the University of Notre Dame and Georgetown, these phony Catholic universities that need to be excommunicated. I'm calling on the alumni and the donors to cut off all support of these schools.
I agree with you 100%. How could anyone of means give a nickel to Georgetown after they put a black crepe over the initials for Jesus Christ to allow the atheist Obama to speak there yesterday?
Michael, this is equivalent to a dignitary coming to the White House and asking the United States to lower the flag. This is the utmost insult.
Why would Obama want the initials for Jesus taken down or covered up? This is something that was done during the Soviet era when they covered up statues of Soviet era, of pre-Soviet era heroes. This is astonishing what's going on nakedly in front of our eyes.
Judeo-Christian values have become offensive. We've been hijacked.
But wait, who was Obama covering up Jesus' initials for?
I don't understand the connection, but I see the train track that we're on, Michael. Maybe you can connect the dots for us.
But who would have been offended when he spoke at Georgetown to have required them to cover up the initials for Jesus with black crepe over plywood, which was done, by the way. It's a fact of reality. Who would have Obama have done this for? Who would it offend? Tell me who would have been offended by that.
The Catholic Church, in some regards, the unorthodox fallaways, are pandering to this worldwide audience, and that's not what the Church is founded on. It is the universal Church, but it's bound by Catholic principles, and when you walk away from that, you've walked away from the Church.
Interesting. Well, all you can do is bet with your money, and you can stop putting your bets down on Georgetown and these other universities. The same with the other universities. I'm going to leave money. I won't leave 10 cents to the University of California at Berkeley. I won't leave a dime to Queens College. And believe me, I could leave them significant scholarships. I'm not giving them 10 cents. It's all going to animal rights groups. I mean, real animal rights groups, not PETA.
Savage.
Yeah, there is a reason why the first visit that I had with a foreign leader after my election was with President Calderon. As John F. Kennedy said, that the bonds between our two countries cannot be broken. We are joined by a border, but our bonds are so much more than that. In my hometown of Chicago, the population is at least one-third made up of people of Mexican heritage.
Now you understand how we have an imposterous president. Assuming that of the one-third of people in Chicago who are of Mexican heritage, a goodly percentage are illegal, you now know how Obama and the entire Chicago machine is running. It's running on the votes of illegal aliens, which explains why we Americans, we real Americans, we American citizens, understand that it is Alice in Wonderland. Everything is upside down. And that is because illegitimate candidates like Feinstein, Boxer, and others in other cities are propped up by the votes of illegal aliens. Do you understand this or not? Well, I do. I'm doing the best I can. I'm only doing what I can. I can't do any more than I can do. It may be too late in some ways, but I don't think anything is too late. By mere fact that someone leaked that DHS report to another individual in the media, and Joe Farah published it on WND, and that I brought a lawsuit against DHS, we're opening this up to the clean light, the sunlight of truth. And the truth shall set us free. I'm a great believer that the truth shall set us free. It is the most powerful thing in the world. It's been true from the beginning of time. The truth will set us free. I am speaking right now to a very small audience. I'm aiming my words specifically to a very small group. And those are people working in these agencies who know what's going on. And if you get a memo like this, you've got to risk your career to leak it. You've got to leak it, not to me. Send it to anyone you know in the media. Get it out there. You've got to stop this emerging fascist dictatorship from taking root in this country. You've got to cut the tendrils off as they continue to try to suck the lifeblood out of our democracy. Step by step, day by day, taking away our human rights, our civil rights, under the guise of civil rights and human rights. It's been done by dictators before. Under the guise of human rights and civil rights, they're stealing our human rights and civil rights. Look what Napolitano did. She didn't target members of Mexican gangs, did she? And yet we know there's a Mexican gang problem. She didn't say that members of MS-13 are a potential terrorist threat in America. Yet we know they're all over America. We heard that for months now. One report after another. Gangs that police are afraid of. That's not in Napolitano's DHS report. No, if you're a returning veteran from Iraq or Afghanistan who has a weapon in your house and knows how to protect yourself and your family, you are the one she doesn't like. Or if you're against abortion, you're the one who's on the targeted list. Do I have to go down the list? It's all over the press, those of you who know what's going on. So you've got a government now turning upon the strongest and most patriotic elements of the country. And the only people who can save us from this are those who see the emerging threat in these agencies, have the memos come across their desk, copy them, ferret them out, send them to the media. Expose these bosses for who they are. Expose these Politburo members for who they are. And then the truth shall set us free. That's all I can say to you. There is nothing else. You're not going to turn to the Republican Party as your savior, are you? No. You're going to have to turn to yourself. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Bakersfield, California. Daniel, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm a U.S.-born son of an immigrant family from the Ukraine that came in the 1980s from the USSR, and it took them 7 years to come to this country. And my grandmother and mother always pushed conservative morals on me, and I never understood what it meant to be a true conservative and a true American. And now that I read your book, The Enemy Within, and liberalism is a mental disorder, and I listen to you every day. I learn what it means to be a true conservative and American.
Well, what your family should have done instead of waiting 7 years and waiting in line honestly and meekly is they should have gone to Mexico and just walked across the Rio Grande. Then they would have been welcomed with open arms and made American citizens immediately. Free medical care, free health care, free legal care. They would have been able to vote illegally, of course. That would be the way to do it. Just come through Mexico, instant citizenship.
Yeah, but if the KGB would have let them, they might have done that.
I'm just joking, Daniel. It's a very frightening thing to see the USSR emerging in the US of A. Thank you for the call. All I can do is be a voice of truth, a beacon of truth, and you've got to do something with it. That's all. Portland, Oregon. Rob, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Just would like to say that the reason why Obama wanted the Georgetown initials blacked out because he's the second Messiah. He can't stand not being outshined by Jesus himself.
I don't think that that's the reason. I think that he was afraid of offending the atheists who hate the Catholic Church. There's a huge number of sexual deviants in the Obama administration. Make no mistake about it. Either they're on MSNBC or in his administration. And they hate the Catholic Church because of all of the Christian denominations, it is only the Catholic Church that opposes homosexual marriage with any vigor. You understand that?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
So the real reason is he was pandering to the gay marriage advocates because they hate the initials of JC. Make no mistake about that either. San Francisco, KNEW, Jane, welcome to the program.
Michael, let me thank you before I give my comment. You made me laugh today, and I'm so distraught. I feel like real torture is having this man as president. That's what torture is. But when you told that story about the pants, I almost went off the road.
That was the only moment of lightness all day long.
Thank you for that gift, and I continue to be with it. If we're really going down the way I think we are, I hope I end up in a bunker with you. But let me tell you, I'm a psychologist, probably the only conservative one in Santa Clara County, and I think you call him malignantly narcissistic. I think it's worse, Michael, because sociopathic people lie and expect people to believe it in the way he does. I think he...
Who are we talking about now?
Obama.
You think he's more than a narcissist?
Yes, I do.
What would you define him as clinically?
I think he has sociopathic tendencies because he lies there in ways that sociopaths lie. Think about...
Well, have you listened to his speech cadences? I'm really an expert on it. When he goes into these long thought patterns where he drags out a piece of a sentence where he's trying to conjure up some lie, you can almost hear it coming. Like he just did with Mexico and the great culture and cuisine that they've given us, for example.
Is a strange, effortful dialogue, right? There's no natural leadership that comes out of his mouth. He has to strain constantly not to say what he really wants to say.
Yes, but look, as a psychologist, would you define for the millions of listeners of the Savage Nation what a narcissistic personality is?
Well, a narcissist is basically empty, and they're looking constantly to get reflected and to get acknowledged internally by the world. They have this.
Okay, hold on. Now, in a sense, all creative people have a degree of narcissism in them and need affirmation from outside. They're all damaged people, and whether they be an actor, a writer, a poet, you name it, they're looking for affirmation outside themselves. That's not limited to politicians. But when you have a man who needs affirmation on such a grandiose scale because of the scars that he is carrying as a result of his, shall I say, flighty mother and fathers who abandon him, don't you think that the elements of his fathers who abandoned him and his mother who ditched him half of her life had a great deal of effect on Obama?
I think it's tremendously significant, and I think his level of hiding things is really, to any psychologist, is just absolutely creepy. I mean, really, if you took him out of the presidency and you just took this profile, you would find it creepy, the level of hiding things, the level of, for instance, when he said, well, I was in that church for 20 years, but I never heard anything. Well, if anyone else said that, you'd either think, okay, well, you're too stupid to notice what's going on around you, or you want us to believe in...
But the media covered for him. The rats in the media covered for him. They threw rat droppings over his words and made it look like he was telling the truth. That's how the imposter became president.
If you notice, in the same paragraph, Michael, he can talk out of the same, for both sides of his mouth, in one paragraph. And he... truly.
Look, let's talk Turkey here. He went to Europe and failed at every and thing he intended to do. He was a failure. Everything he set out to achieve, he did not achieve. He came back a complete wreck. And yet the media made it sound as though it was a big victory. All they did was show pictures of the rock star tour. But the things he set out to achieve, he did not achieve.
Do you remember the killings in Colorado when the kid who was picked on went in the black coat when this first started becoming popular in this country?
Yes.
This is what I fear the most, that this is the kid who didn't, you're right, he doesn't think this is his country. And now he's in charge, and the cheerleaders and the football players and everybody who is successful is going to get are going to get punished.
Oh, my God. So he is the ultimate rejected outsider who is now going to get even with the football players.
Yeah, you're right, because it's not, he doesn't talk about our country with pride because it's not his country. It hasn't.
So he doesn't, Obama doesn't relate to the United States of America as his country.
I don't think so.
He's ashamed of the United States of America, in essence.
His wife said it as much.
So he's a member of the Blame America First crowd, as is his wife, Michelle.
Especially, yeah.
Jane, I thank you for the call. Hold on, Jane. Let's send Jane Psychological Nudity and Healing Children Naturally. I reprinted both books. They're fully stocked now at the Savage store. And the Healing Children Naturally is really an important book for young mothers, young fathers, parents of young children who are afraid of drugging their children and want to know about natural recipes. And it's a whole huge 80 pages on natural recipes for resistors. I wrote the book in 1982 and I've reissued it. It's now in a fourth or fifth or sixth printing. And again, it's not going to change my lifestyle if you buy a million copies. What's going to change your lifestyle is if you get your children off poisonous foods and toxic drugs. That's who I wrote it for. And that's going to be my legacy. Psychological Nudity is a great book because it's got some humor in it and some political poignancy as well. Orlando, Eddie, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to say one thing that I've been listening to you for over 10 years. I've canceled my cable. I don't listen to my cable, but I remember over 10 years ago, you warned us about the bed bug infestation, and yesterday the NHI, the National Health Institute, released a report that they were going to that they got so many calls in Philadelphia about bed bug infestation. That
right, and what did I say 10 years ago? Where were the bed bugs going to be coming from?
But South America, Mike, you were right on time then.
Bingo, that's right. The influx of immigrants from these third world nations, which have horrendous hygiene and virtually no sanitation, has brought a resurgence not only of bed bugs, but of tuberculosis and cholera and other diseases that were wiped out in America. Maybe Obama can tell America about the wonderful reintroduction of tuberculosis and cholera from his wonderful friends that he's pandering to in Mexico. Thank you for the call. So there it is. I also wrote the immigrants and epidemics way back then. Of course, that's a medical fact. Medical fact, immigrants do bring epidemics, particularly when they come from nations without hygiene, and that's not limited to Mexico. You take a look at the resurgence of hepatitis in this country, or the great growth in hepatitis cases. It's coming from originally from Indochinese refugees, the Vietnam boat people. The Vietnamese boat people brought it in. The unstoppable wave coming from Asia are coming in with tuberculosis. This is a well-known fact in medical circles, again, swept under the rug by these lying politicians. I'll be right back.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love.
Until it becomes illegal in Obama's new fascist America to speak the plain truth, I will be on the radio with God's will. It's melting down faster than I thought it would. This lying imposter, phony, Obama, has gone to South America and is seen in a Reuters photo just released shaking hands with the devil himself. Chavez, who hates this country. Chavez, who drove the entire middle class out of his nation, is being embraced by our imposter, smiling, shaking his hand. And I will remind you that in Iran in 2006, this monster, Chavez, said, "The United States is on its way down, and it will be finished in the near future, God willing," in Arabic, inshallah. He is in cahoots with the Islamo-fascists. in his nation. And here is our president holding his left shoulder, shaking his right hand, and smiling with him. This is the circle, the encirclement. Everything that you feared is happening much faster than you can believe. And I have no words for it other than I can't believe it. But it's all within 100 days, and I thank you, liberals from New York, from Chicago, from Florida, from San Francisco, from Los Angeles. I thank you, morons, for giving us this dictatorship. Very soon you'll come to understand how right I am. Very soon indeed. And now, of course, there's another article that I say, oh yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. It comes out of Israel again, ready to bomb Iran. Times Online. Yeah, what are they going to bomb it with? Leftover matzah and gefilte fish they couldn't export to Brooklyn? I've been hearing it for 2 years. Oh, one more move, you build one more plant, we're going to bomb. Israel stands ready to bomb Iran's nuclear sites. With what? The leftover matzah you couldn't unload in Brooklyn? The gefilte fish that's rotting in Tel Aviv warehouses you're going to drop over the nuclear facilities? I'm sick of this already. Risky raid. Risky raid. Go ahead and do it already. Go ahead and do it already. Most of the world will hate you anyway, whatever you do. Because to most of the world, the only good Jew is a dead Jew. And to most of the world, the only good American is a dead American. So that's why Obama is so happy now, because he's got most of the world in his pocket. The only people he hasn't been able to crack are the U.S. veterans, the hardcore Christians, and the others named by his Unterführer, Janet Napolitano. His Unterführer, Janet Napolitano, named the lists. She put out the hit list that the SA will be going after in a very near future. Ephraim Kahn, the deputy director of the Institute of National Security, said it was unlikely the Americans would approve an attack. No kidding. The American defense establishment is unsure about attacking pirates, so they're going to tell Israel, go ahead and attack Iran. These know-nothing, do-nothing Hollywood fakers who are running the military were shocked that they even had a fire upon the pirates. They all defecated in their underwear there. Ooh, maybe I'll be called up onto The Hague if I kill one of the Somali pirates. That's not good for a defense job with the United Arab Emirates after I get out of the military. And the American defense establishment. You have former writers for the Los Angeles Times who work for George Soros now in the Defense Department putting out memos. You hear this? Defense Department. What Defense Department? You have a Defense Department? Where is it? Actually, I think if Israel did attack Iran, the United States is liable to attack Israel. Yeah, I believe so. I don't think that Hussein Obama would permit the IDF to fly over Iraq. They're liable to use American military planes to chase the Israelis out of Iraq. After all, you can't use American military to chase the Islamo-fascists out of Iraq anymore, but you can chase the Jews out of your airspace. Yeah. I'm surprised that Obama hasn't gone to Iran and shook the hands of the Hitler of our time and offered him some help in developing nuclear weapons in order to keep those pesky Jews in line. After all, that would have been approved of by Reverend Wright. We try to warn you about that. But 98% of the Jews voted for Obama. Very interesting. It's fascinating to me how Jews are so clever in so many spheres of interest. Medicine, law, finance. But when it comes to self-survival, they're morons. Absolute morons. They have no idea what they're doing most of the time politically. I don't understand it. It's a mystery to me. It's just a mystery to me. That's how I see the world. You don't like it, do something about it. Go ahead, go put my name on another list. See if I care. You don't buy the products of my advertisers anyway. What do I care? Do what you want. Enough people who love America do. You don't listen to the show. Go listen to the bedbugs on another channel. Veterans are focus of FBI extremist probe. You hear this? And now he's shaking hands with Chavez. A man who said that America is on its way down and it will be finished in the near future, God willing, in Arabic. And Obama embraces him. We try to warn you. We try to tell you who he was. His far-left politics were evident. They were as clear as a hexagram on a cross.
Savage. We'll be right back.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. Listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. We'll start with the first and most important story in the United States of degeneracy here. Adult star Marilyn Chambers found dead. You may not know who she is. She's 52 years old, 56 when she died. And she broke through into the public's consciousness, polluting the American mind forever, in the 1972 film Behind the Green Door. And I guess this proves that Mama Savage was right when she said sex is dirty. In the sense that years ago, when I had my mother on the show, God rest her soul, she died about 5 years ago. She was, how old was Mom? 88? She made it that long? I don't know. God, what longevity. My father kicked the bucket young, God. The men always die younger because we work harder, you know, particularly in the older generation. That's how it was set up. Women didn't work in those days. Most women didn't work. The men worked. They worried. The women shopped, cooked, cleaned, and complained. And then they got the left the money, and they moved to Florida, and then they complained again to the surviving children that the Chinese and Italian wasn't as good as in New York. That's the way of all life. Hey, I got to tell you another joke. I mean, a joke. It's dark humor. I went out with a friend of mine last night. So he swore to me that his stepfather has a phrase on his tombstone that says, "Where are we going for dinner?" I said, "What?" He said, "I swear to you." He said he was known for one phrase, "Where are we eating dinner tonight?" I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." He says, "Just like your show." He said, "This is all a man ever talked about in his last 50 years. Where are we going to dinner?" So his surviving wife put on his tombstone, "Where are we going to dinner?" No, but my mother was right when she said sex is dirty. You know, that's so opposite today. When you got kids 9 years old sending naked pictures of themselves with parents saying, go ahead, enjoy yourself. Don't do it. You know, go ahead, don't get in trouble. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. The mothers are like sluts today. Take a look at them. You ever go to a mall? You don't know which one is the teenager. What is the mother trying to compete with the daughter to be a bigger slut than the daughter? No wonder the daughters are texting themselves naked. All right, but sex is dirty. My mother was right. So when I called my mother years ago before she passed away right in this show. You remember what she said? She caught me off guard. Play it now. What do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people believe that the more sex you have is better.
Well,
especially the gays, Ma, out here, you know, they go to
83, though.
Huh?
They're not 83.
No, you can't argue with that. What do you think about guys going to a bathhouse with 100
right,
men a week?
Let's with the guys that I didn't. He shouldn't have even said it to her. She didn't even know what men do with each other. My aunt once asked me in the back of a car on the way to a funeral, by the way. She said to me, "Michael, what do homosexual men do with each other?" I said, "Don't even ask me." I said, "Don't even ask me. They have no idea. They haven't the slightest idea." All right, but, you know, you want to talk about the pirate thing. This was similar to Reagan's show strike on Gaddafi, in a way. And you have to give Obama credit because at least he struck the pirates. At least the military used its force. At least the special forces or the SEALs were able to kill these pieces of garbage. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the captain of the Bainbridge isn't court-martialed by the U.S. military for actually doing his job. After all, it's come out now that they were only teenagers. The Somalis were merely misunderstood teens, uneducated little teenager Muslims. They're only doing what their holy book told them to do to infidels. We're learning now that Somali pirates are untrained teens, and perhaps Hillary Clinton can see if they can court-martial a captain of the Bainbridge for giving the command to kill them. You know, Anthony in Chicago, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, you know, I feel like it's a real huge victory for the United States in serving these Somalis some equal justice with the death of them.
Yes, it is. It is a victory against piracy. It's not a military victory because a military challenge was presented last week with the firing of a rocket by Kim Jong-il when we did nothing. That was a military challenge.
Yes, we should have. We backed down from that challenge, and I think I feel really bad about that. But I mean,
correct. I felt terrible about it because we had a ship offshore North Korea. We could have launched missiles, and we could have blown up his launch pads with his whiskey collection at the same time.
Well, that's why I don't know.
All right, that's enough already. 1-800-449-8255. Look, you're getting things out of order here. You're talking about military affairs when I wanted to talk about Marilyn Chambers, the star of Behind the Green Door, dying, and my allegation that sex is dirty. Steve in Las Vegas got the right idea. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation, Steve.
Hi, how you doing? Nice to talk to you. I love your show, man. You're right on target.
But go ahead. Now the good news.
Well, the good news is I've been in over 300 XXX movies. I actually knew Marilyn. I'm actually shocked to hear this right now. I'm kind of a little bit shaky because I knew her pretty well. So I suppose I'm going to be getting phone calls.
Didn't she have cancer for a number of years?
She did. She had been battling it. But I heard
Steve, look, let's be real, and I'm not going to put any moral judgments on what you do for a living. I mean, you know, my positions are pretty clear, and people enjoy pornography, whether or not they admit it or not is another story. There certainly is a consumer base for pornography, or it wouldn't be there wouldn't be a market for it. So let's let that sit as it may, okay? But you know and I know that exposure to different individuals and multiple exposures to many individuals, no matter how safe you try to be, does expose you to disease. That's a given. And you would know that in your industry, correct?
That's correct. But we have procedures that protect us from those diseases.
All right, then let's get very, very Swedish about this in clinical. Let us say that a man has intercourse with a woman using a condom. Is there not still an exchange of bodily fluids to a certain extent?
There is, and there's always a risk. This is true.
So, you know, I mean, guys like you, how young are you? How old are you?
Well, I'm 44 now. I was in the industry when I was 24 to...
Oh, 30. Okay, so you're changing tires now in Cleveland.
Yeah, I have a...
Well, at least you got a sense of humor. You know, you talked like you were still in the business. What are you doing? What does an ex-porn star do?
What's that? What's an ex-porn star
What
do?
Does an ex-porn actor do?
Well, first of all, I have to give you a little bit of background. I graduated from...
Please, sir, I'm not that interested. What do you do now?
What do I do now? I'm in the security field.
Oh, you're going to tell me you're a Navy jet pilot, I mean.
No, I'm in the security field.
How do you, this is an intriguing thing. I never met anyone in the porn business, honest to God, I never did. So, I want to ask you something. You do that for a living. Do you have normal relations with a woman in addition to that?
Well, my wife is still the biggest star in that industry, which is Alicia Rio. We were married and we were in the industry together for the whole
time. How can you do that? I don't understand it. How can you do sex for a living and then have sex with a wife? I don't get it.
Well, you know what? It's a different frame of mind. You know, it's not for everybody and not anybody can do it. I think
now you're telling me you have children running around and you go to church on Sunday?
I'm newly married and I have a little child and she has nothing to do with the industry.
Was John Holmes what they said he was? Was he on the level of the Cuban Superman?
Yes, he was. He is the truth that all men were not created equal.
Hey, you remember in The Godfather 2 when they go to Cuba and Frito gets excited over the Cuban Superman? Do you remember that scene?
I vaguely do.
Yeah. Was there actually a man, the Cuban Superman?
Well,
all right, come on. Now this is getting absurd. But I heard rumors of the Cuban Superman in New York when I was a kid, you know, and then the movie came out, and it was like, oh, you know, big deal.
Right.
You know, I want to talk about that for 1 minute in a delicate family manner, and I want to put something to rest. And I really want to do this in a very dignified manner. A lot of men fear that they are not endowed adequately to satisfy a woman. And they also suspect that all women are size queens. That's not true, is it?
It is not true. In fact...
And I'm going to give you the converse of that. And I'm going to make a prediction if it hasn't already happened. The artificial breasts that you see today promulgated the silicone implants in women? Is there not a trend now that men want the natural woman?
This is absolutely true, actually.
In other words, the idea of this perennial youthful look, which is so plasticky, is a turnoff for most men. And not all men are turned on by women who are large-breasted. Some men like flat-chested women. Some men like women with small breasts. And I think the same thing is true with women towards men. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And this is not, you see, but this is not part of the national psyche. The national psyche is if it's bigger, it's better, and women love you more. And I think that this was a very important conversation, which is why I said, although we can talk about the piracy and we can talk about Cuba and we will, the death of Marilyn Chambers, the porn star, is actually more important.
Savage.
Now, I want to say something. You don't see me on Fox News. You don't see me on CNN. You don't hear me on any other shows. Yet I had a long meeting today with my syndicator and all of the great men who work for him, and I found out that in some markets I have a 14 share. I have a 14 share on some shows in this country, but you won't read about that, and you won't hear about that. And that is because I have an audience that is a threat to the power structure, and that includes the talk show hosts who are owned by major conglomerates. Remember, I am the only independent American talk radio host. I am the only one not syndicated by a major corporation. And think about the constraints on those who are. I haven't any such constraints. The only constraints I have are the FCC and the U.S. Constitution and my own conscience. Therefore, I am you, and you are me. You get it?
Savage.
I ate too much for lunch. I'm sleepy. My mind works fine. I'm just dozy and it's cold. We have the high 30s. Someone will scream global warming. However, I must tell you, I've studied temperature in the Bay Area going back over 100 years. The days were just as cold in December, January, February as they are now. I've seen snow up on the mountains here. The occasional snow. Everyone loves it. But don't tell that to the, let's say, the Neolithic thinkers amongst us who are sure that we're causing global warming. But anyway, so, you see, here's the problem. Is when you try to do good for yourself, sometimes you do bad. Take me, for example. I went to an Asian restaurant to eat some lunch. It's an Asian restaurant. As I tell them, no fat. I mean, no oil or less oil and no sugar. And it usually comes out fairly good. So I finish eating and I'm starving. I had the plate lunch, and I'm starving. I go out. I walk right into McDonald's nearby. I said, why am I doing this? I said to myself, why am I doing this? I just ate lunch in the Asian restaurant. Answer, because I'm starving. And I sneakily ordered a fish burger, but then I said, without cheese and without sauce, with extra onions. In other words, I was. It's like the devil on my left shoulder said, have the fish burger. The angel on my right shoulder said, all right, at least cut out the cheese, please. The alarm bells were going off. And add onions to it. Onions. So I said, all right. Then the Mexican woman says to me, do you want the sandwich? I said, what do you mean? I knew what she meant. I said, no, give me the French fries too. Now, I got to tell you something. With the Diet Coke, with the thing, I scoffed it down like it was a dessert. It was unbelievable after the good Asian meal. Now, there's no moral to the story other than there's only so much you can do in the world that's good for you. You know what I mean? And then at a certain point, you just got to enjoy a meal once in a while. Like last night, I went to a local hole-in-the-wall, disgusting Thai place that no one goes to except a few local people. The food's excellent. We feel very bad for the guys. Children are always in there doing homework. They're very hardworking people, and his food is very good. It's awful. It's like next to a laundromat. There's nothing more depressing than eating in a restaurant, in a mall, strip mall, next to a laundromat. You say, well, why do you do that to yourself? You can afford any restaurant in the city. Answer, because his food is good, and I don't care about style. I care about the food. I go to eat. I don't go to be seen. I don't go to be heard, and I don't go to – certainly don't want to hear people talk, which is unfortunately this dump. My luck at a table nearby in this empty restaurant was a classic Marin County liberal couple from hell. Let me see if I could describe them. Just say a classic liberal couple from hell. Now, they're in a dump of a restaurant. Every platitude known to liberals came out of that woman's filthy mouth. from global warming while she's stuffing her fat yap, stuffing a fat yap with food. She's talking about global warming. Then she goes on to, did you hear the story about blacks being underrepresented in law firms, Bob? Oh, yes. Blacks get into major league law firms, but they don't make partnership. Blah, blah, blah. So I start to fume. I'm boiling, and I'm trying not to say a word. I'm like behind a tree in this dump, like a cheap tree, a fake tree, and I'm trying not to see them, but I can hear them. And she won't shut up. Now, I got to tell you, I had a few drinks before dinner, and it made me somewhat loquacious. So I started to talk to my long-suffering Mrs. S. as loudly as I could to counter the global warming argument and to counter the blacks in the law firm argument. Then I got outright insulting. And, you know, one thing led to another. Eventually they left. Fortunately, they were smart enough to not make it any worse than it was. Why did they have to do a political discourse in a restaurant? Now, I do this for a living on the radio. You have an option to turn the show off or to turn the show on, to turn the volume up or turn the volume down. When you go to a restaurant, you don't want to hear a moron shooting his mouth off about politics. I find it the most offensive thing in the world for people to speak loud in restaurants, by the way. Some of them scream. But some of them scream about political points of view. Global warming, blacks not getting ahead, you name it. You name the issue. And then to top it off, as they were leaving the restaurant, they say to the owner of the Thai restaurant, oh, we're sailing to Thailand or going on a sailing trip in Thailand next week and, I don't know, some whatever, Phuket, I don't know where they were going. And they do the bow with the hands together. He looked at them like they were crazy. He could care less whether they're going there. But you see, they were eating in the Thai restaurant for cultural and social reasons, to bond with the simple people of the third world. So that's last night. That's two in a row. I had the Thai brain beating last night, and then for lunch today, I had to go from the Vietnamese lunch, which was excellent, by the way, but skimpy. I'm not 98 pounds living on a handful of rice, fighting with the NVA here in the woods. I need a real meal, an American meal. I have a radio show to do. Please, you know, lay it on. So I went from a somewhat healthy meal to a pig out meal.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. The sound and fury quote from Shakespeare's Macbeth. He's talking about the ephemeral nature of life and how brief it is. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage. And then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. I think many of us feel this and don't talk about it. We take the Prozac, or we take the psychic Prozac called television, or the psychic Prozac called football, or baseball, or basketball, or rap music, or whatever it may be, or the crack, or the cocaine, or the marijuana, or the alcohol, or whatever it may be, or the running. And you can get very, very cynical about it all and say, what's the point of trying if it's all a charade and we're going to die anyway? You know, that's depressing. And there are many answers to that question that are life-affirming. There are many reasons to go on. I learned so much in my childhood, I didn't even know I was learning it. That's the beautiful part of it. In that sense, I would say I had a very rich childhood because so much was seen and heard and overheard. And I look back now, look, here's a story I told maybe once for 2 seconds relating to the ephemeral nature of life and how you can really go down, you know, off the deep end if you look at this the wrong way and you don't have the right spiritual or emotional support. There was a woman in the neighborhood in Queens, attached houses. I can't get any more detailed. The attached houses, which to us was a gigantic step up. It was like the Queens Palace from where I had come from. A little green yard. And one of the neighbors in the block, he was really high class because he was a doctor. So he had a wife who had a nervous breakdown, so-called. I don't even think they use the phrase anymore, nervous breakdown. I don't even know what it is. What happened was she stayed at home all day, and she wandered the streets of Queens, or that neighborhood, and she would take people's arms and say, what's the meaning of living if we're only going to die? Now, she had two children, and the other women didn't know what to say to her. She could not understand why she should live if only she was going to die. Then she would say, but my children are also born to die. I mean, that spooked out a lot of the women in the neighborhood, so they stopped talking to her. Now, maybe she was, in her own way, touching upon the Sound and Fury quote from Shakespeare of tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And haven't you seen that picture? And how did you get past that? What gives you the reason to struggle and go on? Why do you struggle? You ever look at your children and say, they're too going to fade like dust, ashes to ashes and dust to dust? And yes, we all get those thoughts if we're you. When you look at your pet, your fish, your dog, your cat, you know, I got a box upstairs with ashes in it. I got a mother and a father and a brother in a grave and a grandmother and grandfather and ancestors in graves, as you do. We all do. And yet, you know, it's a strange society. We never talk about death in that way. All we talk about is victimhood and suffering and how everyone's a victim. But do we really talk about the meaning of life and the meaning of death, or only about death as an opposite to life, meaning you're no longer a consumer? See, once you die, you're of no use to the Murdochs and the Morlocks and the meatheads who need you as a consumer, an idiot to watch or an idiot to buy. In other words, a consumer. If you're dead, you're no longer a good consumer, except perhaps you can still buy a casket from one of these operations. Perhaps they'll figure out a way to sell you a conservative casket or a liberal casket with an inscription on it. It's probably not a bad business, where they now start monogramming caskets or something. But what motivates me to go on, for example? How do I do this every day? Why do I do this anymore? I don't really need the income. My children are grown. They're doing very well. I have enough to, you know, basically retire on. I could have retired a long time ago. Why do I do this? You'll have to ask yourself, why am I not as desperate to sell you something as some men are who are younger with young children? And I understand why they have to peddle and they have to sell you and they have to con you day and night to sell you another item or another. I understand it. They're younger than me by probably 20 years, many of them, and they haven't made their fortune or their marks, and they're very insecure about that. So they continue to sell you things that you don't really need. So therefore, if I'm not really selling you anything, what is it that motivates me every day? Well, it's an obligation to God primarily. I know you say, well, who is he kidding? What, are you kidding me? Take it for what it is. I don't really care whether you believe me or not. I know I mean every word I just said to you. You see, I was ruined in life several times, primarily by liberalism. Liberalism destroyed me, or almost destroyed me, and almost put me into the grave. The liberals, through affirmative action, stole my birthright. They took it from me. They turned me into a nun person. And they said that less qualified women and less qualified minorities only need apply. And they said, you shall not apply, even though you are a white male. You're of no value whatsoever to our new America. Well, it was tough for me to bear. And had I let it get to me, I would have died or never struggled again. And I told you what happened. I told you how it happened. And it's amazing. It was a certain time in my life, and it was about 16 years ago. And everything had gone bad for me because of affirmative action and because of a few scoundrels in the vitamin business, ruthless gonoffs of the lowest order. Things had gone really bad for me. And I wanted to give up. I really did. Well, my son, we were living and this is an interesting story in a way. I had to move back to a house that I had purchased, a small house that I had purchased a few years before as a rental unit. And things had gotten so bad, I had to move into my own rental unit. And it wasn't a happy time for us. The children were still teenagers, blah, blah, blah. So I was sitting in this dark little horrendous room that I called a study, which was really a converted nursery. It was disgusting, with a little tiny window. There was nothing. There was no nobility in it whatsoever. It was a complete failure. And this was after a PhD, two master's degrees, 16 books. No matter what I did, it was like I had dug for oil. I was like a wildcatter, and 1,000 wells had come up dry. I said, I'm not doing this anymore. So I called my son in, who was a teenager, and I said, son, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to retire because there's no point to this. Well, he said to me, you can't retire. He said, that's giving up. He said, men retire at 65. I got so pissed off at him, I chased him out of the room and I ran after him down the block. And you know what? Because of that, I was embarrassed. And for him, I had to get off my behind, get out of the gutter, and I had to struggle again. That's when I created the tape, the first radio tape. So help me God. A few months later, I created the mock radio tape and sent it out to 400 stations. And the rest is really history. That turned me around. But, you know, it was based upon a lot of prayer and a lot of thought and family. Family keeps us together. So having said that, I had only asked God for one thing. During the darkest moments of my failures, or really I should say the failures of our society, which took some of the most talented white men in history and put them on the shelf in order to promote people who were less qualified simply to make people feel better and in order to introduce socialism to America at a faster pace. I said to God, all I ask you for is to give me a living. I beg you not for riches. I beg you not for fame. I beg you only for a living. Well, I now have a very good living in talk radio and as a writer. But you see, it came with a burden. Remember I told you that God answered my prayers, but there's always something attached to his answer. He didn't say, here, go, you're going to win the lottery. Because if he had said, here, because you suffered so much, my son, put $4 on number 933B7, and you're going to win $90 million in fastball or something. Well, I probably would have blown my head off by now if I had won some kind of lottery. I'm a worker. I was raised to work. I'm going to work until probably I can't work anymore. And it's because I was raised this way. It's in my genes. My father, to him, the most important value in a boy was working. Every time he mocked me, it was because I was too lazy or I wasn't working hard enough. And the way he mocked me is he would say to his friends when I was a little boy in his store, look at this, look at the worker I have for a son. He's a real hard worker, isn't he? And the other men would say, oh, come on, leave him alone. He's not a bad kid. He'll be a good worker. And my father would look at me and sarcastically say, yeah, look at the worker I have. Always dozing off or something to that effect. So to him, work was a great value. It's almost laughable in this hedonistic age that we live in where work is considered de classe. Well, I know that there are many men who have much less than I do financially who are retired. And good luck to you if you are, and I understand it. But I'm not made that way. I wouldn't know what to do with myself from the beginning of the day to the end. I wouldn't know how to spend my time. Now, maybe that's sad. Maybe it is sad that I don't know how to enjoy myself on a golf course or a tennis court. It is possible, but it's not in my genes. I did not learn how to play golf. I learned how to sled on a cobblestone street in the Bronx. I did not learn how to ski. And when I went to college, there were kids even in Queens College or working college who were going to ski lifts and skiing. I'm not a skier. I didn't understand the fun of skiing, and I know those who do. In fact, when my children were very young, I took them skiing. I taught them how to ski. I figured it's a great American sport, and I admire those who can really ski. But when I have gone to the mountains in the last few years during ski season, I don't want to ski. It's a zoo. It's a zoo. It looks like a bunch of automatons. Clankety, 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 clank. Line them up. Here they come. Take them up, shoot them down. Get them drunk at night, take them up, shoot them down. Get them drunk at night, take them up, shoot them down. Clankety clank, clankety clank. Where's the beauty in that? I used to go to the High Sierras and I used to walk in the winter. I used to snow walk. I don't do it anymore. You know why? Because of yahoos on snowmobiles. I won't even walk in the woods anymore. Do I want to listen to a putt shooting by on a snowmobile, shooting out dirty, ugly fumes on a snowfield that I used to walk on? In the absolute silence. Did you ever hear the silence of a snowfield? Can you still hear it? The whoosh and the hiss of snow and sound? America has become a gigantic noise cesspool. There's almost nowhere to go anymore for any peace and quiet. Every neighborhood. There's not a neighborhood in America that is affluent and beautiful that you can live in any peace. Because everyone is greedier than his neighbor. I think I'll put in marble. I think I'll put in granite. I think I'll put in granite. I think I'll put in granite. I'll put in granite and I'll flip it and I'll make money and I'll screw the next person. Everyone's suddenly Donald Trump. Everyone's a Donald Trump, and from morning till night, every house is being renovated. Every house is being redone. You can't even live in your own houses anymore. So tell me where to go to get peace and quiet in the United States of America. You have an answer to that one? Well, I guess you have to move to the country. You got to move to the country. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty place from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. This is the Savage Nation, hoping to signify something. Savage. I'm sitting here in my radio studio. I have the Bible that I've used for years. Some of you have seen it in my few live performances, very rare. I've held this book up, the Holy Scriptures. It's a blue book. There must be 150 post-its in this book by now, markings and post-its. I can't find anything anymore. There's so many post-its sticking out with arrows and this and Babylon and wolf and lamb and a babe is their master and an eye for an eye and kosher foods and last of the summer. So today I'm reading from Genesis, and I'm looking at this passage because I touched on it yesterday. And I swear to you, I swear on my own life, on this show today, this one sentence is somewhat and very obscurely marked with a yellow color, even though I never marked it. Never. I never marked it. I didn't mark it. There's a slight yellow. You know how you have, like, you're a kid who's studying, they have a marking pen where they underline a sentence or two, something important. Right? And this sentence is there in a very mild yellow. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, this is so important for me to read to you today because of the homosexual propaganda, which is almost all-encompassing today. The gays do not stop. They are relentless. They are brainwashing an entire generation to believe that homosexuality is equal to heterosexuality, that it is almost more godly to abort a child and almost more godly to not have a wife if you are a man than it is to do the right thing. It's unbelievable to me how a kid today, his mind is poisoned in the schools. The mind is poisoned when he turns on a television set. The mind is poisoned when he clicks on AOL or Yahoo or any of the other servers. Everywhere you turn, there's more propaganda about homosexual marriage and how good it is, and how it's an oppressed minority because they're not being given equal rights. It's all a lie. It's a gigantic fraud and a gigantic lie. Every religion on earth prohibits that behavior. There's not a culture, there's not a civilization that encourages this behavior. It's astounding to me. And the only way to counter it is with the truth of reality. Look at nature. Look at nature and look at the going forth and multiplying. It is the reason for living. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There is no other way to do it. Don't tell me about, I don't want to even go into the obscurity of the lesbians who are having children. It makes me puke. It makes me nauseous to think about the unnaturalness of people who are inseminating themselves in that manner and creating a child. It's almost an abomination to me. I'll be very frank with you. I find it nauseating. And, you know, this leads to a story that I did not want to tell you, but I'm going to tell it to you. I read it to you yesterday about the so-called conservative Jewish movement is considering whether to ordain homosexual rabbis and to permit homosexuality, as it says. So I'm reading what these idiots are writing, and the guy who heads it up is from New York, of course, and it turns out that of his four children, one is a lesbian who inseminated a child within herself or her girlfriend artificially. So naturally now he's going to change all of conservative Judaism in order to feel good about his daughter. So now he's going to write a law that says, well, it's just like having brown eyes or blue eyes. And although we're going to accept homosexuality and gay rabbis, we're going to prohibit anal sex. I started to laugh hysterically. I said, this is amazing to me. In other words, it's okay to be gay but not too gay. Is that what he's saying? Is that what he's getting at, the rabbi? This is the great genius, the rabbi. It's okay to be gay, but don't be too gay. Be gay. Only as gay as we say. In 10 years, though, we'll permit that. Don't worry about it. We'll get real liberal in 10 years. You know, it's unbelievable to me. What is the point of a religion if they keep changing the goalposts every day, telling us that they're modernizing? Either you're religious or you're not religious. Either you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Either you have a fundamental belief in some of the rules or you don't believe in any of the rules. That's all there is to it. So that's my interpretation of what's going on here. We're living through amazing times. The problem is, we wouldn't even be talking about this if these elements did not control the media, if these elements of liberalism, and that's what they are, make no mistake about it, they're all intimately tied up together. If these elements did not control the movies that are projected to the world, if these elements did not control what comes out in the newspapers, if these elements did not control the imagery on the news shows, we wouldn't be this weak, sick nation that is falling apart. Trust me on this. We wouldn't be falling apart. Catering to the radical Muslim who stages a game at the airport. Now they're eating it up. Anyone with a brain could see what these phony imams did, except for the rats at CNN, innocent victims. She can't see that they staged it as a probe in order to break down our resistance to a terrorist attack. She didn't see that. We know they wouldn't conduct it. We know they're peaceful men. But we know they were seeing if they can get away with gaming the system and breaking down some of the Patriot Act and some of our security concerns. All part and parcel of the same mentality. Don't you see the connection? Don't you see how it's all interrelated? Don't you understand this, what I've been trying to tell you? The danger we are in is very clear. The way out of it is also very clear. We absolutely have to take control of the media. That's number one. When I say take control of the media, I mean don't watch that filth. Turn off those rats. Don't let them propagate their propaganda. Turn them off. Cancel your newspaper subscription. Do it today. Do it yesterday. You're doing it in droves. Their circulation is in the garbage because you've stopped buying the anti-family, anti-American rubbish that they publish. Good. Step one. Step two, turn off the televisions. Don't watch it. It's the devil's workshop. Off. Don't go to their movies. You don't need to go to Danny DeWino's movie, the stunt he pulled on the slob show to get publicity for his movie. Who would go to a movie from that guy? He wasn't funny as of 10 years ago. Who wants to see him cavorting? Nobody. Don't go to their movies. Don't watch their television shows.
Savage.